7-Eleven with craft ice. The flow nice like the honey jack with no ice. Low light in the condo, switch things around though. Gotta hold a nine like Rondo. Ask her about it, she been on about it. No limit with the passion, been bought about it. I'm still grounded, steady planting my seeds. Going back to my roots, these lovely birds in blue. Tell them boys don't shoot. Yeah, and no more ducking patrol cars. Give it new meaning to shoot stars. Real boss, from ramen noodles to caviar. Now be in these rooms that's sealed off. Damn dog, that's where we are. Yeah, and best believe there's no rush.
Hey, we podcast, baby, baby. Atlanta, Georgia. What's happening, everybody? Me and Jeremy will be holding it down today. Akeem and Rashad had to handle some business, so A-League Podcast will be handled by me and Jeremy Johnson. What's that?
What's up, man? What's up, man?
What's up, man? It's rainy outside, but we good. We're going to bring the light. We're going to bring the light in here. We're going to talk a little Hawks basketball, as we always do. Shout out to everybody who's been supporting. We really appreciate it. Dash Radio, we're excited about it. And this is, I think this will be episode one or not. We'll see if it'll be aired or not, but everybody listening, we really appreciate you guys' support here. Keeping up with the Hawks basketball throughout the week. And then also we'll be talking about LaVar Ball, who has been making waves, beefing with Charles Barkley and whatnot. And I think we definitely have to talk about that because he seems to be getting a lot of flack that I think is going a little bit far, just a little bit too much. But let's talk about the Hawks basketball, man. This week we lost to the Spurs, lost to the Grizzlies today. They have a game against Portland, big game there. We're still sitting at the fifth seed. But I think a big topic that I'm just seeing around with just like Hawks Twitter, Hawks Facebook, would be, should Tim Hardaway start? All right, because most of the season he's been coming along slowly. We remember where Tim was last year, where he could not make a jump shot and he was struggling and looked like that whole trade that we gave two years ago that was not worth it. It felt like it was a very bad move. But now Tim is taking off this year. One of the leading scorers on the team, the spark off the bench. I don't know. What do you think? Is it worth it for Tim? Is it beneficial for him to keep him where he is? Is he better in that role when it's kind of, I don't want to say less pressure, but it's kind of fits his game just to come in there and just be that green light?
I definitely feel like he's a guy that comes off the bench. I mean, yeah. I don't want to see him in the starting lineup. I've seen that in New York, and that didn't really work out that well. And early in the season in Atlanta, that really didn't – he didn't seem comfortable in the lineup as a starter. He kind of needs to watch the game develop and then come in and have that green light and just be that one-dimensional, I got to score guy. I mean, that's cool with me for him. I mean, and as far as the draft night trade, I mean –
For Kelly Oubre, remember?
I
still don't like that trade.
Looking back on it, though, I mean, it was a decent trade where the Hawks ended up getting a solid 13-point-per-game type guy for a guy that's, you know, he's shown promise, but...
Yeah, he's coming along. Yeah, it's taking a while with Kelly. Yeah, but it's youth. I mean, Tim's still young. I think Tim's, if I'm not mistaken, Tim's like 24 or something. Yeah, so he's a young dude. But I can understand, the trade-off there is... immediate. Like, I think Bud is definitely showing all these moves. He wants everything is like for the now. It's not, and which is, he gets some flack for that, right? Obviously, it's like, all right, he's just trying to, he wants to win now, or he wants to at least put veteran pieces around there now, but it's not, what about the future? And a lot of people obviously want him to, that's why people want him to play Taurean and DeAndre and all that, but Taurean's been taken off too. We'll talk about Taurean too. We should talk about that. But yeah, no, I mean, Timmy, I'm so torn with it because the Hawks have had so many slow starts. And a part of that is really not giving Dwight enough chances. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like the games are starting slow. Millsap is giving, Millsap and Schroeder are like big with, as far as like they're key to the starts. And a lot of times like Schroeder is here and there. Millsap's usually pretty consistent with the first quarter. But a lot of these games, it's just Atlanta's getting up to so many. They did the same thing against the Grizzlies. They started fast. They start fast on the road, but they start slow at home, if you realize that.
Yeah.
So it's like Tim... it's him or Bazemore. I think we can realize that if it's going to be him or Bazemore, I don't think you can play him and Thabo. Yeah, together. I'd rather have him and him. Oh, I'm sorry, actually, replace him for Bazemore. My bad, and play him and Thabo together. Just because you have somebody else veteran wise, and Thabo's so good at like communicating like defensively, like but he's
then,
the best.
Then your bench suffers. I mean, you have that dilemma of wanting to be an offensive bench or, coming out and starting off slow where you got the defensive unit basically to start the game. I mean, you got Ken Bazemore and Thabo in the lineup, and then you got Dwight. That's three out of the five players that are defensive players, and then you got, and then you have the bench. That having Tim Hardaway on that bench is kind of a shock to the system when they kind of bring him in late in the games. I think that formula works better than having him with the starters and then bringing in defensive guys, you know, throughout the game.
I can understand. We got a clip from Coach Bud from this week. I think earlier this month. Go ahead.
I think we like having that scoring punch off the bench, and you know, he's getting lots of opportunities. I think it's best for our group to keep him in that spot. And Bayes and Tabo, you know, starting, and you know, they're contributing, doing their thing too.
Yeah, that's Coach Bud talking about Tim Hardaway coming off the bench and how it helps this unit here sound like the Cookie Monster. But he is he's definitely, he has a point there. I can understand. I think it's just, you can feel it out game to game. Obviously, if you get the minutes, at the end of the day, if you get the same amount of minutes, I guess it won't matter. He's finishing a lot of these big games. So it's like, I guess but the slow starts are just, it's just too much. And he's got to put him in some of these games earlier than I know he would want to. Like the Grizzlies game, that second quarter, actually the third quarter, he put him in a lot earlier than he usually does in the second half. But because we were just, you know, a lot of times, Tim's like the only one that will come, that would be on the court. It would be him, Dennis Schroeder, Paul Millsap. And he would be the one out of the, and Ken Bazemore might be on the floor too. And the only one that would be as aggressive at times. And that's even saying against Paul. Like, there's a lot of times I see Tim is like looking around like, okay, so it's like the whole Allen Iverson thing, kind of like, is okay, so nobody else is going to take the shot, so I guess I will. So, and that's what I at least like about Tim, is that he's not afraid to take the shots. And I think for him, it's just he's had so many big games, like the Houston game, the San Antonio game, which I think that was his first break to meet, like his biggest turnaround this season. The San Antonio, like the overtime game they had in Phillips. The Houston game obviously was big. The Portland game he had on the road. Like all these games we've come back, the Milwaukee game.
The Cavaliers game.
The Cavaliers game. It all happens because Tim Hardaway. And it's obviously it's a contract year. Do you fall, you know, everybody's like, oh, you don't want to fall for it again. He might pull another Bazemore on us if he comes back next year. I don't know. But I am like starting to warm up towards the whole idea of bringing Tim back. Just looking at the market, there's not much out there for the free agency as far as like shooting guards go. So what you do? I don't know. But no, I think for now, my final verdict, I'll just see keep Tim coming off the bench for now. I think I'm agree with you for now. Playoff time, though, it might be – you might need to start.
Yeah. During playoff time, you got to do what you got to do in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
If you get in a pinch, game five, game six, you're down, you got to do what you got to do. Your best players got to be on the floor as many minutes as they can be.
Yeah, and you know how stubborn Bud can be with who he wants his lineup and all that, but sometimes you just got to put – you know, because right now we got only Torian – we got like a 10-man unit right now. So you only got Torian coming off. Jose Calderon, he's doing a great job, by the way. You got to give a shout-out to Jose because he's really coming in there and like just seems like he has complete control over that second unit. And Malcolm Delaney did well most of the year, but you just feel a little bit more like comfortable with Jose.
Malcolm Delaney doesn't feel like a point guard. He feels like another shooting guard on the court. He's just kind of a guy that's just out there to take his shots. He's not – like you were saying, Calderon has that control. Mm-hmm. He's another coach, and that's one thing they're really missing. Even with the starting unit, because Dennis isn't that either. I mean, he's more of a, I'm going to get my shots, I'm going to get my assists, and I'm going to go chill on the bench.
Right? I think – and oh, let's talk about even that. Dennis this week – was like, I think I was looking at the stat and he upped, I think for the last like five or six games, and Dennis has upped his like shooting field goals per game to about 18. Like it's been like the last six, which is a pretty large amount, right?
Yeah,
you would say
for a point guard,
and then especially for Dennis, because we know he didn't come in the league, even he didn't seem like that type of player, right? Everybody compared him to Rondo or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that's been interesting because, yeah, you need him to take more shots. But he's also taking a lot of bad shots and questionable shots at the same time because if Dennis is not aggressive, then the Hawks aren't as good. Like, at point blank, he's the engine, right? But a lot of these shots you've seen him take in, especially that Spurs game this week, I don't know if it's the fourth quarter if you saw it.
Yeah.
It was just a complete – it was just ugly to watch him forcing it.
Teams are starting not to even guard him now.
Yes.
That's making it hard on Millsap and Dwight because teams are just packing the paint in and saying, if you want to shoot, have at it.
Go ahead.
You make one out of ten, that's a win for the other team.
And that's what the Spurs did. They really just – Patty Mills and them, they put ball pressure, but once he got in the half court, they were like, all right, just go under the screen. Even though Dennis, to his credit, has improved on his pull-up game, I'll give him that. And I think Bud even gave him credit for that. He's improved on it. But at the end of the day, it's like you are who you are. A lot of these teams say if you're just now getting better on your shooting, we're still going to play you the same way as when you couldn't shoot. So right. That's like how it is with Dennis. I get it.
You got to make the league respect you.
Yeah. Right. But he's just not making – he's not taking good shots.
No, he's not. He's just giving up completely on – I mean, he can get by anyone. I mean, that's been proven, and teams should know that by now, that he could get by anyone when he wants to. But he just doesn't seem like he wants to. I mean, he don't want to get in there and take that contact. He don't want to get in there and go to the free throw line when it's late. He don't want
to
go.
That's what happens when you get a jump shot, though, a little bit. Now you started to want to shoot.
Yeah, you
want to
float around a little bit, but
yeah, that's
not his game. Nah. He's a smooth, silky point guard. If he really wants to, he can get to the hole whenever he decides he wants to.
It's true. He can. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I don't think Dennis is as – no, he's quick, okay? But I don't think Dennis is as athletic as he may come across.
No, he's not John Wall.
He's not John. Yeah, okay.
His game is very comparable to John Wall's, but John Wall is a whole other level type of athlete.
John Wall. He's comparable.
He's smooth.
He's smooth. Dennis is smooth. I would give him that, but he's not as he definitely doesn't have as much control over like just. Well, first of all, his body, and as far as just like movements, and all that kind of, like the way he gets to the lane, it's not as
agile.
Yeah, as John Wall.
Let me rephrase this. I'm not saying Dennis Schroeder is even in the same breath as John Wall. Honestly, I think John Wall is really underrated because he's a top five, top six point guard right now. But
most
people would laugh at that. But anyway, Dennis Schroeder. You know, he's not in that league, but he's a poor man's John Wall.
He's a poor man's Rondo. What about Rondo? Because Rondo's his comparison, right?
No.
And he's not even Rondo. He might not even be Rondo. I get it. He can't pass like Rondo.
He doesn't have the vision,
which is tripping me out because all that's – like we're seeing it now. We can finally compare because he's a starter, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we seeing from him? I was like, the decision-making has always worried me, and I know it's worried you. Like last year, that's what we were talking about when he said, all right, you're giving him the keys. But I'm like, are y'all sure? Like, I get it. We're over with the Teague thing. We did everything we could with Teague. But now it's like, I don't know. Like, it's this guy here. You're going to have some, like, struggles. And we've seen him throughout this year where it's like he'll make a bad pass or he'll – and it's like you won't see, like, the look at him that, all right, my bad. Let me fix this. Let me get better at it. I haven't seen, like, exactly him develop as a decision maker throughout the year. I don't think he's gotten better as I think he's just kind of stayed the same. It's just game by game how he wants to play. If he's up for the game, Dennis is going to play. He's going to really be out. He's going to do his thing. But other than that, I haven't seen the improvement I want to see enough from Dennis this year. Yeah, it's just like he's questionable.
And then they rewarded him with that nice new contract
before he ever
started a game. You know,
that was a mistake.
Yeah,
but for that money, I get it. I mean, they were scared they were going to lose him, right? Because he was restricted, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah, he was a restricted free agent. So
I would have gave him a 1-year deal.
Really? Said,
I would have gave him a 1-year deal with a lot of money this year and just
like a franchise tag.
Yeah, basically a franchise tag.
That'd be smart. You got to make because these guys. It seems like him, Bazemore are guys who are just like they thrive off of just having that pressure of which any NBA player does when you feel like you're on it. Speaking of Bazemore, we got a clip from Bazemore, which we know he's been struggling all year. Let's hear that.
I'm still finishing work. I'm getting a lot of looks that I want, you know, shots aren't falling, missing layups, starting to get to the free throw line a little bit more, so, as far as, you know, when I get out there, I'm happy about that, it's just, you know, good ice on the cake, you know, missing the summer, really hurt me, so now I'm, coming in late night, two times a day, trying to get right, so, it all come together, you got to be patient, long way to build one day, greatness takes patience, so, I'll be there, when my teammates need me, they've done a good job of, staying with me, kind of helping me through the frustrations, it happens, just got to keep chopping wood, my work ethic hasn't dropped, I still play hard, not my time yet.
And that is Kent Bazemore talking about his struggles this season. Obviously, he's averaging just 11 points a game, shooting just 40% from the field. Watching Kent, man, I was talking with somebody at the game about this, but I just – for him, it's like he's never been a guy that's had to have this amount of pressure on himself right? It's like his whole career, so Old Dominion, get into the league undrafted. It's kind of like, you know, you've always had that underdog. So it's easy just to outplay people or play higher than your ceiling or your ceiling, you know, play higher, a little higher than your ceiling like he did last year when you nobody expects anything from you. Now expectations are, and he's obviously pressing. During that quote, I mean, that audio right there when I was talking to him, it was just like, yo, he had his head down and he looked like he was in his head. You know what I mean? You know how some players you can tell that, like, in their own head. That was Kent Bazemore. Like, he's completely overthinking everything on the court right now. And it's like he's not just out there playing free, playing. He doesn't look like he's playing at ease. He's forcing it. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to see him go to the lane and lose and get stripped and lose the ball like thousands of times. Like, Kent, getting to the hole seems like a struggle this year for him. It's such a weird, like, dynamic because it's like last year he was able to slither in, get in the lane and get good looks. And, you know, he was a good finisher. He was a decent finisher last year. This year, it's like he's unsure. Like, everything he does, he's unsure of. Like, he's, I don't know if he's thinking over, looking over his shoulder at Tim Hardaway and seeing how well he's playing, because obviously players are going to say, look, I support Tim like he always does, but let's be real. You play football, I play basketball, like, you know when somebody else is on your, you know, they're on your ass pretty much. Yeah. Like, and they're coming, and you got to step your game up, and then you start pressing, because it's like, damn, I'm not, they're all talking about him. They ain't talking about me anymore. Yep. Like, last year we were all talking about Kent instead of, not even Thabo, or when they had DeMar, even when DeMar was there and Kent was playing decent, you know, he started to make a little noise there. We were all talking about, you know, Kent a little bit, like, all right, he could take the reins in a couple years. Now it's flipped. Now you got to be the guy to hold your position, and it's not easy in the league.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Kent. Cause
really?
I've said many times that he's not a starter and all these. I've said all these negative things about the guy, but he's definitely a guy. I appreciate him because he loves. I think that contract is a curse to him because he really wants to live up to it and he really loves playing for the Atlanta Hawks and him seeing himself underperform,
yeah,
seems like it really bothers him. And I can appreciate that because there are players out here that are underperforming and then they'll ask for more money. I'm like, wow, you had Josh your career Smith. Low in points and now you want another contract.
Yes.
But that's not how Kent Bazemore is built. So I'm gonna say this. I appreciate him caring so much, but at the age of 27, man, I mean, how much better are you going to get? So, but this is something Bud in the front office, this is something they should have seen coming.
Yeah.
But
when somebody gets this, no, like, that's a great point. When somebody finally hits their stride at 26 or 27, wherever he was, 27 last year, 26, whatever, it's like that's not, I mean, you would want somebody more at like 24, like where Tim is at. If they hit it at 23, 24, that's a great sign because there's a lot more to look forward to. But this late, I think Kent's about to be like, I think he's about to turn 28. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's just too late now for, and I don't see him.
He shouldn't be developing his game at this point.
No.
He should be, you know, what he's going to be.
Yeah. And he's limited himself, though. And it's his fault. He's limited himself. His game is not that all around. It's just like he either has a 3-point shot, either he's going to shoot a three, or he's going to catch and slash, get to the paint. But there's not much else, you know what I mean? Like,
not even that confidence he had last year, though.
No,
like you were mentioning, he would go to the lane last year, and he wouldn't care who was down there. Yeah. But now, he goes in there and people move out of the way. He misses layups now.
Oh my god, that's what he said. He's like, I'm always missing layups now. I'm like, dude, I've been watching him. Like, these are just like point blank layups, or he looks like he's just not sure of what he needs to do next. And it's like, yo, it's the pressure is there. I get it.
Yeah,
but. For this team, for the starting unit, they just need a little bit more out of him, especially with – I'll give him credit for this. He has done well, and I think we talked about this like a couple episodes ago, with just like stepping in as a point guard. Like, he played the point guard role for the Grizzlies the other night. He did something against the Spurs. Like, a lot of these games where it's tight, Bud would leave him in as a point guard, and he actually does a pretty decent job guarding the other team's point guard. But that's one role I said he's expanded on this year. But other than that, he's just not shooting the ball as well. And I wish he would just get to the – at least – a mid-range game where I think he has that. I truly think he has a good mid-range like jump shot.
Yeah.
But we won't see it enough.
Because he doesn't have it. He, like you said, three?
Three or
a layup.
Or layup. And that's it. And he can't get to the free throw line. So it's like, that's what, which is funny because I think we asked him against the Rockets. It was me and Avery. Shout out to Avery Yang, Hawks Hoop. But we asked him before the Houston game against James Harden because I was trying to see, did he want to be a two-way player like Kawhi Leonard, or did he see anything interesting when it comes to, like, did he see any similarities between him and Harden? And I was just, you know, just trying to get him thinking. But that's one of the things that Harden does so well. It's like, he said it, like, Harden's so good at shooting a three ball and he gets to the foul line and he gets to the paint, he finishes well. Mm-hmm. And it's like Kent is trying to do those things, but
he just doesn't have the skills.
He doesn't have the skill set. You're trying to shoot the three right. like James, but James got a handle you will never have. And then James gets to the free throw line. And as he said in the audio, I'm trying to get the free throw line more. James gets to the free throw line a lot more because he's a big dude and he just knows how to. He slithers in. Yeah, he's crafty. But yeah, so those are guys. And then Kawhi, and then we asked him about Kawhi. And he's just like, well, I want to be that defender like Kawhi is.
He's not as big as Kawhi.
He's not as big as Kawhi.
Kawhi has a 7 foot wingspan. He's 6'7, 6'8, big hands, and he's athletic. And
yes.
Kent Bazemore is none of these things, and he wants to be these players.
Those are the players
he wants to be, but,
I don't know.
He's an effort player.
Yes.
So
do you pay for effort?
Do you? That's a good question.
Is that how the NBA is now? Is that it's so bad with effort that you have to pay for it?
That you have to pay for effort. Like, you're not getting effort out of your superstars. You have to find players that will just give you effort and pay them.
That's a shame, man. Like, that's wild to me to think about that we've pretty much had to do that. Because, what we dealt with in the past in Hawks, we don't know if guys actually cared. You just said it. Some guys that came through Atlanta didn't want to be here. They didn't care to be here. No. They're just like, no, I don't know if you name any names. I'm going to say Josh Smith. But I just like a lot of these guys didn't care. So I know now people, everything is about what's the whole slogan? Being true to Atlanta. So you want to have people who are here who actually care about Atlanta. I get what they're trying to build here, the culture, the whole culture thing. And that's true about Bazemore. It's like what you said. It's just like he actually wants to. That's a guy I can look in the locker room every time I'm in there and I say, hey, that's a guy who I can tell he actually cares about and he likes being here.
Yeah.
Cares about being here. Wife or girlfriend, whatever, she apparently teaches yoga here, like a big, like a really popular, like, yoga class or whatever. Everybody, like, digs. I know somebody at my job who goes to it anyway. But it's like she's popular here. They love being here. It's pretty dope. I get it. But do you sense it throughout the whole locker room? And I would say no. It's like only a few guys you can sense that actually want to be here. Everybody's just like, oh, Atlanta's just a stopping point here. And I'm
even
going to the next.
Even Dennis Schroeder, I don't know, man. He just has that attitude about him, man. I just don't like it.
It's the body language.
It's just like, I'm just chilling, man. I got my dough.
Yeah.
I'm in the league. What you gonna do? Put me out of the league?
Yeah.
Bro, let me tell you something.
He's looking around like,
let me tell you something, bro.
You can't do nothing to me.
There's been people who were in your position and they disappeared within the same year. I'm trying to think. What happened to Gilbert Arenas?
What?
Where is he?
Oh, yeah. Gilbert, apparently now he's taking care of his like 10 kids and then,
Yeah, but wasn't he like at one time on the cusp of being a superstar?
Yeah,
he got hurt. He got hurt, and he went from being a
Hibachi to Nachi.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what happens, though. It's a quickly. You're right. I think he's taking it for granted a little bit. Like I'm just chilling here.
I'm 22, 23, 24. I got plenty of time. No, that's what they all say. And then before you know it, you're 30 and you're a backup point guard. Ask Darren Williams.
Yo. I'm so happy Darren Williams actually fell off, and I sound like a hater, but because I was such a, I was on that big CP fan. I'm a huge CP fan, and all that comparison crap is just, so now all y'all people talking, y'all can see that D-Will fell off.
But D-Will finna get a ring.
I know, dude.
Well, he about to compete for one, so.
Isn't that crazy to me? If he gets a ring before Chris Paul, I am going to explode.
Well, that's Chris Paul's fault. Honestly, I'm going to take that back. All I'm going to say it's the NBA's fault because the NBA blocked that trade. Because I really feel like they would have won a title with that team. They would have been in it.
Kobe, CP, this is like Kobe right before he got hurt, right?
Yeah.
And Pau Gasol, Pau got traded in that trade. Never mind. Pau got traded and Bynum.
And they brought in Dwight.
And Lamar Odom. And they brought in, no, they wanted to bring in Dwight. That was the next. That's y'all Laker fans. Stop with these damn memes and putting people in jerseys that don't need to be there. Like, y'all need to just relax. Boogie Cousins and AD is not coming. Now they're on Westbrook saying he's coming in next
year. No. The Lakers need to be doing those memes for the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
They need to be putting Lonzo Ball and VJ Beachum and Vladimir Kuzmuchkovic, who they drafted in the second round. They need to be getting those guys and putting them in Lakers because that's what they're going to look like next few years.
No, it's true.
No free agents are coming there. I'm sorry. I don't care if Magic Johnson's the coach. I don't care if Magic Johnson comes out of retirement to play a few games. It's just nobody wants to play for that franchise right now. They're in flux. I'm sorry.
Break, I tell you. The Magic, and the whole thing about, real quick, Magic, does Magic still have a movie theater? I don't know why I'm just randomly thinking. Remember that Magic movie theater where he was selling popcorn like a Proud Family?
Wasn't that on the beyond? I was about to say that was a Proud Family,
I thought that was real. I was like, wait, Magic got a real, what was it? What's his name on Proud Family? What was Magic's name? They never showed his head.
Wizard Kelly?
Wizard Kelly.
I never knew it was Magic Johnson until I realized he had movie theaters. I'm like, wow. Wizard Kelly.
Shout out to Wizard Kelly. Never showed his face.
They showed his face one time when he was sliding down the mountain with the snow.
Episode was that?
I'm not sure what episode it is. He was coming down. He tripped and fell down the mountain or something. And like they accidentally showed his face. It was funny. It's really quick and subtle, but you have to.
I gotta go back and look at that. I never saw Wizard Kelly's face, but we just all knew he always had a ball in his hand. So.
Yeah.
Proud Family used to come. That's why I bring Proud Family back. They bring back Raven, Simone, That's So Raven. Bring back Proud Family or something else. Anyway, what the heck were we talking about?
Kent Bazemore.
Kent Bazemore. Okay. Dennis Schroeder.
And Dennis Schroeder's attitude of, you know, not being caring.
Speaking of that, interesting enough, we remember the entire beef with him and Dwight just not too long ago. And that the whole fight there was... I don't know if it was just brewing, but it happened. So we have actually a clip of Millsap talking about Dennis Schroeder and Dwight Howard, their entire scuffle there. So we got a little audio there of that. Can we play that?
I've seen a guy who didn't let what happened last game get to him. See, a guy came out there and busted his butt, regardless of what happened. But discipline or not, you know, he didn't play the last game, but came out with a good attitude today to help us win. You know, so I see a lot of maturity, a lot of growth. You try to calm it as possible. Things happen. It's a season. It's a long season. Things will happen. But I think at the end of the day, the teams that are the strongest, the teams that are more together, it's going to be their fighting at the end of the day. And we want to be one of those teams that stay together and not let little things come between us.
Ready.
So that's Paul Millsap. You didn't like that, did you? Paul Millsap talking about Dennis Schroeder and Dwight Howard's whole thing. I know we might be a little behind on that, but I don't know if people heard his reaction, but that is what he said. Are you upset at all that this is him playing in the middle. He's sticking in the middle between this little scuffle there. But that's Paul Millsap. That's what he what he did. What do you say? You don't look happy.
The most generic answer from the most generic star player in the league.
That's Paul Millsap.
Man, this man should have said something. Y'all, we ain't gonna have that in this locker room. Mm-hmm. This is not acceptable. We gonna get this right.
So it's not acceptable.
Point blank.
He didn't. What do you want him to do?
This gonna be the teams that's gonna stay together. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be there fighting.
You're not gonna be fighting for anything at the end. I'm gonna tell you that right. I promise you,
triggered him.
I promise you will not be in the finals. I promise you.
Oh Lord.
I promise you. You can have my car if you're in the finals. You can have my car.
Wow.
You can whatever you want. You can have it. But you're not going to the finals. So it don't matter how close you are, how much you stay together. It's just not gonna happen this year. Second of all.
You have to believe.
You got to say. Maybe not publicly. I mean, I will say
think he did something behind the scenes?
Maybe he said something behind the scenes. So I will give him that. But
I don't know. See, my thing is, I don't know who he is closer to. So who do you talk to if you're not close to either one of them, even though you are the leader? But who do you talk to? Because I'm just quite sure him and Dwight are not like close like that, because they have two totally different personalities. And then him and Dennis is a lot younger than him. Dennis is like 23. Paul's like 31, 32. So you're not going to relate too much to him. So what – I know it's a basketball thing. You have to keep it on the court, but it also helps to have a relationship off the court. He don't have – I'm positive Paul Millsap has no relationship with either one of them. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I am not wrong on this. But those two, yeah. So what do you do? I'm okay with the answer because it being a safe answer, at this point in time when everything is – for the Hawks, everything seems to be just chaotic. Somebody has to just keep calm. And that's what Paul did. Even when it was happening, you saw Paul just like slowly walk to the bench and be like, "All right, that ain't my problem. I'm gonna let them figure it out. I'm gonna let the point guard, our newly paid point guard, and our star center, you know, all star center.
You know what this tells me?
I'm gonna let them handle it.
It kind of lets me
or you know think that. He's gonna leave?
Yeah,
I knew it.
It kind of lets me know he's thinking about leaving, because if he can't step up and handle this, and because this is a situation that's gonna. This has to be fixed next year. These guys are going to have to fit together next year.
I agree.
If Paul's not willing to put in, I'm not going to say that because maybe he's behind the scenes. He's putting in the work.
We don't know.
To kind of, you know, clean this up. But
He's not a vocal guy. Yeah, he's not vocal. He's not like a vocal. Y'all know Paul Millsap. Great Hawk. Years from now, he'll probably have.
He could
have
said.
He'll have his jersey in the Raptors and the Hawks.
He could have said.
I just said it.
He could have said. He could have said, you know, it's been handled.
Why would he do?
Left it at that.
It's been handled. But people kept poking him. We as reporters, we kept probing and saying, yo, say something.
What does Russell Westbrook always say?
What he said?
When he don't want to say you something. He don't want to tell you something. He just tell you, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, who? Is that Matt Curry? You saw the other day?
Who was that?
Yeah, who was that? I don't know that.
Like when they asked him about Reggie Jackson, what did he do? Oh, that's just another player. Oh, that's another.
It's a savage, though. But see, he's already got the whole, like, savage complex. So it goes along with, like, who. That's Westbrook, man. That's Goatbrook. That's why I call him Goatbrook. Because he's the best, man. But Paul Millsap, they ain't know. Like, what is his thing? What is his stick?
To be a leader, you got to be a savage. Kobe was a savage. Michael Jordan was a savage. Russell Westbrook is a savage. LeBron James is a bit of a savage, and he's very underrated at being a savage.
He is underrated. He's so slick with it.
Yeah, he's slick with it.
Yeah, he's slick with it.
Dwayne Wade has been known to be a savage. Dirk Nowitzki is a savage.
He is.
Draymond Green's a savage. I mean,
I just named
what, 7, 8 leaders that are like on great teams and have won championships, and they're all savages.
You're talking about guys who are a lot better than Paul, though. Like,
are they, though?
Dirk might be. Dirk might be comparable.
For $33 million, he better be doing good.
That's not the money, man. You gotta get the money part of it. He's a big fish in a small pond. He's in Atlanta. It's different. It's a totally different complex. And the expectations are different. But Paul's a great player, man. I love Paul Millsap. I respect the hell out of his game. I love how he is able to draw. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but he's able to draw contact better than like Harden. It seems like, I don't know. He's just good at doing that. But Paul's good. He's crafty. He's a strong dude. He might be worn down at this part of the year. I think this part of his career. I think he just looks a lot slower now. And I think a lot of that just has to do with he just put a lot of mileage in Utah, and I think it's just kind of caught up to him. And he used to bang a lot. He's always been a banger, right?
Yeah.
So I think bangers they eventually die out. So, but at the end of the day, Paul, great Hawk. He'll have his jersey in the Raptors.
I don't know about all that. But
I said that. Okay. I said it.
If that's the case, Joe Johnson should have his, too.
Oh, stop.
Okay, then.
No, don't.
Same thing. Am I correct?
If you say Josh Smith now, go ahead and say Josh Smith, because you probably want to.
No.
Okay, you won't. But you're going to say Joe Johnson.
Josh Smith was terrible.
Joe Johnson was here for like 3-4 seasons. Like 4 seasons.
Exactly the same amount of time Paul Mills has been here.
Different, though. The impact.
Have they won a championship?
No. Wait. With Paul Millsap, did we not get to the conference finals? Okay.
It wasn't because of Paul
Millsap. Oh, come on.
He was a part of it.
He was just on
But it wasn't because of him.
What did Joe do? What did ISO Joe get us? Nowhere. Get to us bounced out from Boston. Paul's doing the same thing.
But he literally carried them to the playoffs once or twice.
And he disappeared at times in the playoffs. And Jamal Crawford looked better than him in the playoffs at times. Can we talk about that? But Jay Crawl was actually.
You know what, though? Where was Paul Millsap in game 7 against the Pacers?
I don't know.
Okay, now.
Okay. He wasn't there.
Until you find that Paul Millsap, I'm not going to put his jersey anywhere near the Raptors.
You going to do Joe in front of. Man, look, we're going to leave this for another time because that's crazy as hell to think Joe Johnson's a better Hawk than. Y'all hit us up on the A-League 1, our Twitter. Tell us, you think Joe Johnson. Who's a better Hawk? Had a better Hawk career so far, Joe Johnson or Paul Millsap? Hit us up. The A-League one, that's crazy. Anyway, I'm definitely going Paul Millsap there. Anyway, okay. Let's talk about LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball making his ways, beefing with Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is now wearing a Kent State jersey. I think yesterday I saw him because they're playing they play UCLA. So any team that's going against UCLA, Charles Barkley says he's going to wear a jersey for because he's just mad. Old black dude's just mad, so that you know they're hating on each other. But what do you think about LeVar's whole, him going on Sports Nation, him going on FSN1, ESPN everywhere, doing these different talk show stuff? Like, what do you think about him and the flack he's getting?
Okay. I can see both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna condemn a man for believing in his kids. I'm just never gonna do that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people, for you being mad that you've never seen a father like this. But my father was like this as well, where he made me feel like a better player than I actually may have been. But that some people see it as pressure. But if you look at Lonzo Ball, he doesn't seem to be bothered by anything. I mean, if you just watch the kid play, I mean that when people say, "Are you putting a lot of pressure on Lonzo Ball?" That tells me they don't actually watch him play because he's one of the calmest players I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he doesn't blink or anything.
Doesn't flinch.
So for them to say he's putting pressure on him, maybe in the league he'll be more.
Steph Curry, LeBron, the comment he made yesterday, he said he's better. He's already better than Steph Curry and LeBron.
Now, that's insanity. But
that's him. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
That's him believing in his kids, man. I'm not going. And then we got this thing in the black community where, you know, you see there aren't fathers usually. I mean, a lot.
For these pro athletes, a lot of them. See, let's be careful. Like, yes, a lot of them have had troubles, bad relationships with their fathers that are around or not. Because this is going to the whole George Karl thing, and I hate that, yeah, what he said about the black players and their families' lack of fathers or whatever. Because the father role can sometimes it's important, but sometimes it can be like a little overextended as far as like the importance of it. I get it. Like I'm kind of dicey on that. But anyway, that's a whole different topic. My whole thing is, yes, I know exactly what you're going to. It's just like, they're so used to seeing.
Yeah. They're used to star athletes
without
that.
Yeah, without dads. LeBron James is the biggest one.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No dad, LeBron James. That's no pops there. And it just, people love, they eat that story. Media eats it up. Yeah. Right. And now you don't have that. That's a great point. It's like you got this guy who just, you got a black man that's very much involved in his kids. Probably been to every single AAU game. Make sure he makes every single game with all three of his boys. Very active. Shout out to my man Ronnie, because he does the same thing with his boys, and his father did the same. It's very common, people, but obviously, like you said, it's not a popular story.
Yeah, it's not what you want. It's not what people want to hear or what people want to see. So he's making people see this.
Yes.
Which brings to my second point, is that I kind of lean towards what Jason Whitlock was saying, where he's kind of living through his kids a little vicariously, but
okay. But yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's doing
is.
It in a way where he's supporting them. So I don't have an
issue. He's mixing it at the same time. So it's so hard to kind of like stay with him. It's like, is it genuine or not? It's like you look at him.
It's definitely genuine. He's right.
Like, no, he loves his boys.
He loves his boys, and they've grown up to be good men. Like none of these guys are bad guys. No. I could see if these guys were as brash and as cocky and as arrogant sometimes as he is.
Yeah.
But you rarely hear them speak. When they speak, they speak well. I've never heard of them having trouble with the law. I've never heard of them being in trouble in school. I mean, they're good guys.
They carry themselves very well. They carry themselves very well.
So, yeah. I mean, what's the problem? He's raised three well-rounded black men.
Yes. And and I understand that. With a lot of pressure a lot of tension that's on them, he seems very protective. He's pretty much an AAU dad that I've always seen. All the AAU like AAU basketball, you see all these pops. So he's really nothing that I have never seen before in my life. Like, I've seen AAU dads call out the coach while the game is, like, call out, put my boy in. Like, we've all seen that. Like, that is nothing. So him doing all this is like, all right, well, you know, I guess it's shocking at the first, because it's like all the comparisons to Steph and all that.
Yeah.
But then it's really nothing. Like, for something, my other thing I just want to bring up is just, to me, first thing I thought about, I don't know why, was Cecil Newton, right? Because I thought about Cecil and I was like, all right, well, like, that was a situation where obviously the attention he brought on himself was self-inflicted because of the whole the money transfer with Auburn, right? The $250,000 or whatever it was, and to get Cam to Auburn. And I get that. So you're bringing that, but that's different in this situation because it wasn't like LeVar. I would say this: LeVar has brought it on himself, like very much in his like control. Like, this is him. Like, I want you to look at what I'm doing and what I'm saying. Cecil was different because
He's
trying to get the money. It was low key.
I've never heard LeVar say, well, I'm going to take that back. He has asked for a shoe deal, but.
No, he hasn't.
You know.
Baller brand is ridiculous, though. You seen the prices with them? Anyway, their hope.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a different situation with Cecil. Because, first of all, it's basketball, and basketball players are more visible than football players. So, Cecil Newton was just trying to get what he could get. Okay?
Yeah.
It was unnecessary. It was wrong.
It happens all the time.
Right now.
Yeah. So don't
have kids somewhere being recruited by some school and they're saying, how much, you know, what's your price?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
What's the price?
Mm-hmm. But the only issue I have with this is that it's kind of getting old where every day he says something. Like,
yeah, I get it. You
got something to say every day, man?
Yeah.
Like,
he's a big talker. He looks like a big talker. Go ahead.
And then another thing I'm noticing is where's mom?
Yeah.
I saw a story that was saying she was sick or something. I don't know how.
Asked him after the game yesterday if he knows anything about his mother having a heart attack. I was like, dude, you need to get your credential just snatched out of your, like, just your, just like, you know, literally, why he's asking that question, somebody needs to come out there and snatch his credential like it's a chain. Like, dude, he asked him after the game, like, and then Lonzo was like, look, I'm not talking about anything personal on here after this game. After I just won an NCAA game, you're going to ask me about my mom. So, yeah. But his mom is going through something, apparently. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, she's not saying anything because I'm probably sure she's just like, this is just my husband doing what my husband's always done. They're all numb to this. Like, this is probably what he's always been like since they were youngins. Like, he just talks big.
Yeah.
I get it. My thing about bringing in Cecil was just, all right, so does LeVar take the approach that Cecil did? Because remember when all that was going on, Cecil was in the news. He was talking a somewhat when all the accusations were coming out. And then as soon as Cam got in the league, do you ever see Cecil anymore? Do you ever see Cecil, like, making quotes? You see him in the stands. That dude is never around anymore. He's completely taken a back seat to Cam. Like, you don't ever, before that, it was all about his dad. It was not, like, people weren't even talking, they were missing this whole, Cam was just doing great things, but everybody was talking about his dad, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve Heisman because his dad, blah, blah, blah. And then now Cecil, he gets in the NFL, and Cecil's like, look, I'm going to let you, this is all you now. I did what I needed to do, and I'm just going to leave it to you. I'm going to take a complete, because anytime Cecil comes around, then what do people start talking about? Everything that happened before.
Yeah.
So Cecil's like, all right, I'm not going to ruin your brand, so I'm going to chill. So does LeVar need to do the same thing when they get to NBA, just completely take, or can he help himself? Because Cecil maybe has a different demeanor, but
yeah,
like, I don't, you think he should take a back seat?
I don't see LeVar taking a back seat, but I mean, I don't think he really should have to. I mean,
you don't think so?
Nobody has the right to ask him to. Just like he said, you know, as a dad, he raised those kids. He raised them.
Nobody else did. He did.
He raised them. So, and then he, and, you know, Lonzo and LiAngelo and LaMelo, they can't go to him and say, hey, you need to calm down, because that's just not how parenting works. I don't know what planet.
They sound like the Ninja Turtles. Like, what's up with that?
I don't know. Their names are interesting, but yeah. I don't know what planet people are raised in where they, you know, they can tell their parents, hey, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Not in our world.
That just don't happen. No, you can't do that. You can't tell your dad, hey, you need to calm down, dad. Yeah. You know, I don't really think people like. What?
Yeah. See, but people might be listening and be like, that's crazy. How come you can't tell your dad just like to chill? It's like, it's different.
Because it's respect.
Exactly.
You respect your parents and your elders.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
If your dad said shut
right
the hell
or wrong.
Up. If he said shut the hell up, you're going to shut the hell up. And you ain't going to say nothing back. That's it. That's how we do it. Like, it's just, it's complete respect. Like, I'm not going to. You might say it's, like, overbearing, that it's unfair that he has to be independent. He is independent, but at the same time, he wouldn't have the independence without his father. Like, at the end of, you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't be able to stand where he is right now without his dad. You got to get that respect. I understand you got to be your own man. LeVar LeVar is, like, 19, 20. So he's a man. Like, so he's his own man. I understand that. He's got to figure it out on his own when he gets to L.A., which you probably end up at. So either L.A. or whatever. So he's got to figure it out. I get
that. And that's what LeVar said. He said, you could be your own man when you get out of my house.
You got your house, yeah. That's really, and have we
that's
never
simple
heard,
as that.
Have we always heard that our whole life?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, you get out, you can do what the hell you want.
Take out the trash.
Yes.
I don't want to. Well, you can want to when you get out of my house.
Yeah,
stop eating my food. Stop using my electricity. Stop using my water. That's when you can be your own man.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's it. Yeah, it's very simple. It's a very simple concept. I understand that at first the shock is like, oh my God, this dude is going overboard. It is too far, you know, it's too much. It's overbearing. But at the same time, like, for me, if I had a pops like that, I wouldn't be mad. Like, personally, just speaking personally, like, my pops was total opposite of what LeVar is. But if I did have LeVar as my pops, yeah, it'd probably be like, all right, you would get used to it because it happened so long. So you're numb to, it's no, like you said earlier, there's no pressure, right? So you get used to it, whatever. But a lot of kids, a lot of people, period, would love to have a father like LeVar. And don't shake your head if you're hearing that and be like, nah, not me. It's like, nah, you would, because you got somebody that's in your corner 24/7 and do anything to get you to the next level or get you to where you need to go. You can tell LeVar has put in his whole life to these kids. So it's like, yo, that's what we all do. Like, we got friends who got sons.
I will say this, though. There is a difference between being what LeVar is and then being too much. Too much? Too much is when you go to the coach and cuss the coach out after the game because he didn't do what you wanted him to do.
I agree.
Now, that's different. That's a whole different situation. I've seen this play out before where parents in the stands come out and say, hey, I want you to put my son here. And the coach is like, well, no, I actually have him playing here. No. That's a no-no. But no. I have never heard of LeVar doing that.
No, yeah, I haven't seen it either. He's on the sideline. He's going. He's supporting. He's cheering.
He's a
but
supporter.
You don't see him. Yeah, but
he's
you don't
not
see
a controller.
Him. Yes, I think that will go. If he ever, you know, future. If he ever gets in making quotes, which we could expect it, maybe if something, if he's having, if LeVar, if I'm sorry, if Lonzo's having issues in LA or wherever team he's at. And LeVar feels the need to say publicly about management or blah, 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 or whatever.
That's out of bounds.
That's out of bounds. And honestly, we probably should expect that. I mean, there's a good chance of that happening, going forward. If Lonzo's having an issue. But because he's never really had – I'm sure Lonzo's never really had any issues with probably any of his coaches or anything because he's always been the best player, right? So you can't – you're not going to have any issue with the coach because your boy's going to get all the shots, all the blah, 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 all the shine. So you don't have to worry about that. But – for in an NBA with so many politics, and we know how the NBA can be real grimy,
yep.
This is going to be like a shock for LeVar as well. So he might – it's going to be a lot for him to learn as well how to maneuver, how to at least word it right correctly when he has a disagreement with management or the coach or just completely staying out of it. But, I'm not anymore taken back by LeVar. There's nothing about what he does that's – shocking or that's appalling that's like, oh, he needs to stop. It's just like, you know, whatever. It's fun. And a lot of it's just entertainment. He said it himself. Like, this is entertainment.
This is game. This is not life or death.
It's not life or death.
What pressure? This is a game.
I love that.
I love that quote. Yeah. I mean, and then another thing he said, something that was blasphemous to me.
What'd he say?
He was not something he said, but somebody asked him, are you exploiting your kids? And I was like, no. At first I was like, maybe he is a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's making money off their games, but
baller brand.
What is UCLA doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
People pay to come watch his son play.
Yeah.
UCLA has been irrelevant for six years, something like that. Since the last one went to the Final Four with Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, and that whole crew.
Yeah.
And UCLA is a team that, you know, it's a hot ticket right now. Yes. So and
because of one man,
Lonzo Ball is that man that made that happen. So. And how much does he get paid to play for UCLA? Exactly. I can't remember.
$0.
Okay, then. So who's exploiting who here?
Yes. No, it's true. Don't hide and say, I don't want to talk about the NCAA. Like, no, let's
talk about them.
Yeah, keep the focus on them. That's where it needs to be at. Like, don't forget all the players that has made these claims against the NCAA. Don't forget when Shabazz Napier said that he went to sleep hungry and every night because his meal plan was ran out and he couldn't eat anymore, so he used to go to sleep with a headache and go to practice with a headache because he was hungry. Don't forget those stories there because those are real. So it's like, let's keep the focus on the higher. Like, that's like, to me, equivalent to blaming, civil issues between, just civilians, period, but forgetting about the government's problem, like the government, what they do, like to impose a lot of these like rules and regulations on us that restrict people. That's like forgetting what their role is on like just civilian type of like problems or whatever. Like, you got to look higher up. There's always a bigger like just dynamic to every situation. Don't forget that. So don't forget NCAA in this. Like, his dad is his father. That's personal. That's that relationship there. But his father does not try to strip him of like everything he's earned or everything he's doing for basketball. His father's not trying to do that to him. That's what the NCAA does. They try to strip Lonzo and all these college players of everything they've earned, of everything they do for them by what everybody. I mean, if you even sign an autograph, then that's
suspended.
Yeah, so you can't do anything. They don't want you to earn a damn dollar.
And then you go to the professional rankings, and then your stock drops because he was suspended. He's a troublemaker.
Yeah,
like. Jamie Foxx on Any Given Sunday. He a troublemaker. He don't want to play no ball.
Yeah,
you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. Uh-huh. I mean, that's exactly right. He hit it right on the head. That's
it.
Lonzo Ball. I mean, UCLA is number two. Doesn't have a name on the back, but it goes for probably $60.
Yeah, it probably does. It's true.
Lonzo Ball doesn't get a dime of that.
Never sees it. Never will. I know people are like, well, but he lives nice. He lives in, I think Lonzo lives like in Beverly Hills or something. I don't care. Chino Hills. I'm sorry.
That's a nice place to live, I guess.
Yeah, the house looks nice from what I saw. I was like, that's nice. I don't care where he lives. He still needs to get what he earned. I mean, if he's putting in the work, he's going in the gym. And none of us are. We're all covering it, writing about it, going to the game, and just completely being entertained by him. Then, let him get some cash out of that. But he's about to make a big buck anyway. He's about to get his money in the pros. But for every other college athlete who doesn't make it to the pros, what do they get? Nothing. No. So squat.
I'm really interested to see how LeVar handles LiAngelo's time in college because, I don't know if
many. He looks like the oldest one.
He does. He
I been getting it mixed up. I'm like, yo, I thought he was Lonzo at first. I was like, I saw the picture. I was like, that's not Lonzo.
He's big. I'm tripping, dude. He looked like he in his mid 30s. But I want to see how he's gonna handle this because I don't know if many people know this or not. But LiAngelo?
Yeah,
he's not as good as the
Donatello.
Other
I don't know.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know these dudes' names. But anyway, go ahead.
Donatello.
I don't get them.
The Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles.
Coming to a basketball court near you.
Yeah.
But, he's not as, highly ranked or as skilled as LaMelo or Lonzo.
I saw somebody on Twitter say, they're like, you're like the next Melo. I was like, yeah, chill out. Somebody comparing to Melo. I was like, relax.
I mean, he's only a three-star on ESPN. He's three-star. Okay. And
he's a junior, right?
He's a senior this year. And
senior? I'm sure. Yeah.
He's not as, I don't know. Lonzo is a generational type point guard. Yeah. I've never really seen a point guard with his skill set.
He's 6'6".
He's 6'6". He can shoot from anywhere. I mean, at LaMelo, I mean, I know it's 92 points. That's not legit. That's 92 points. No. That was
below. No, I mean, yeah. I'm so lukewarm with him. I'm not impressed by really with. And it's like, yeah, he's a high school kid, so I'm gonna chill. Like, I'm not gonna bash. If he gets better,
you can see the skill set there.
It's there.
It's there.
It's just,
but it's just not ready to be
handed
next generational type talent. Like,
yeah,
you can't say he's Steph Curry yet. Or
no,
me.
Relax.
But his game does compare to Steph Curry. That's what I was about to say, but.
It does. Well, I'm sure he looks up. That's like his favorite NBA player.
Yeah, but see that. I can see him being an NBA player eventually. Maybe he'll be a starter or a role player in the NBA.
Think he'll be a star, though?
He could be.
We never know.
This point, you never know. You never know how a 14-year-old is going to develop. But looking at LiAngelo, I want to know how.
Yeah, I want to see him, too. I need to see more of him. Like, I know he was missed. I think they're in the turn. Are they not in they were in some, like, playoff.
I think they're like number one or number two in the country now, even without Lonzo. But I want to see how LeVar is going to handle him being, because he's going to be I know he said he wants all his boys to go one and out, one and done. But LiAngelo is not really projecting to be that type of player. So I want to know how he's going to handle that having to have a kid that's going to be on campus more than the 1 year and done type thing.
Because Lonzo, he talks really highly about Lonzo, but like you said, I don't see – he's not doing it yet with the other two, right? Because Lonzo's obviously better than the other two. But so, yeah, like you said, see how he handles the next ones coming up. If he's just going to be like, all right, I just did this for Lonzo, but the rest of y'all, I'm going to chill. That's a good point, though, because I don't know what he's going to do with them. Yeah. I have no – but speaking of that, let's quickly talk about your tournament, NCAA tournament. I don't know how everybody's bracket is. Mine is terrible because I tried to pick the first round like every single upset. And I try to just be like, oh, you know, this year I'm going to pick without, thinking about what I saw this year at these teams. Like, I wanted – because it was like, look, the worse you – like, the more you know, the worse you do.
Yeah.
So it's like I knew a lady who picked based off of mascots. Like, she picked her favorite mascot from each, round last year, and she did way better than everybody in the office. So I'm like, I'm not – like, I'm bugging. Like, I'm not doing that anymore. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I had Duke winning the whole thing. And I might be crazy because I know Duke doesn't have a lot of depth, but – I'm just going to go with Duke because I feel like they have momentum coming in. So.
Yeah, that's a good pick, man.
I'm going to go with Duke.
They definitely hot right now.
So. Who you got?
I mean, that's really what the tournament's about, getting hot.
Who's hot? Yeah, who's hot? Yeah,
I got Arizona. For the same reason. I feel like they're hot.
Okay.
I mean, they beat coming down the stretch. They beat UCLA. They beat, what's the other good team? Oregon. They beat all those teams.
They beat Oregon. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like, and they're really, they got this really good power forward that's going to be a guy that's going to be a high first round pick that nobody's really talking about. Laurie Mekkinen.
Look at that. Yeah, we know how it is. I got to look him up, though.
Yeah, he's going to be a sneaky lottery pick that nobody's really talking about. But
they're in the bottom. Okay, so they're going to have to go through probably Gonzaga or Notre Dame or West Virginia. Okay, they can definitely get to that final.
Because they can score on anybody. Really? That team put up 100 points the other day.
Wow.
The matchup I'm looking forward to seeing with them, though, is possibly when they run into a – are they on the bottom? Who's in the bottom?
They're in the West. So they're going to run into they'll run into somebody from the East, if I'm not mistaken.
Would that be West Virginia?
So that means they'll play – yeah, they'll play somebody from Villanova's – Villanova, UVA, Florida – or Duke, they have to go through.
Yeah, they're capable of beating those teams, but
okay,
those are going to be really interesting matches. That's the most interesting part of the bracket to me is that half. Whoever comes out of that half is going to win it to me.
It's going to win. Okay, I can see that. Nah, I mean, it's, and even the other side is like, we know everybody's talking about how packed it is for Kentucky, Kentucky, North Carolina being the same. That's crazy to me to ever happen. But I got Kentucky coming out of those. Which surprised. I don't trust North Carolina.
I don't either. Said.
I don't care what anybody. I never grab into that hype. I just think they'll either. I have them losing like the second round.
I do too.
Second or third. Yeah.
If they run into a Michigan or a Louisville,
they're losing.
They're losing.
Yeah,
they're
totally
not
agree.
Beating either one of those teams.
No. I agree. Them and even what we have in the top East coming out. You have Kansas, Michigan State.
I don't trust Kansas either.
I know. It's just like, well, yeah, if you put so much. And Kansas has decent depth, but this whole thing is just about how deep you are. And Kansas is – I like their starting five. I like Josh Jackson. We don't know what he's going to do now with this pressure on him. This is when you make your draft stock really, solidified. Yeah. All right, we're going to do it. You know, so a lot depends on Josh.
They don't have a big man.
They don't have a big.
They
that
don't
can
have
score.
A big. They,
I like Mason, the point guard. Mason's really good. He at least keeps them under control.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
And Azubuike, they miss him a lot.
They do.
He was on his way to being a lottery pick before he got hurt.
True.
And I think he'll be a lottery pick next year. He's going to be a real good player. But
yeah, they missed that. You're right. Insight.
They miss him.
Mm-hmm. So, they'll be coming out. They'll have to go through. But Kansas will have to go through either Michigan or Louisville or Oregon. So, it won't be easy for them as well. I don't know. But I got Duke doing the whole thing. Speaking of that, real quick, yesterday, Oklahoma State game. There's some really good games. Vandy Kidd, you're an idiot. You're an idiot, dude. that's probably the.
I thought the coach.
What the hell?
I thought the coach told me to foul.
How? When you are down.
If the coach tells you that, just tell him, no, dog, we up one.
No, we're up one. Why would you foul?
Look at the clock, coach.
Yes. And I don't know if it's. I told my friend Rich this. I was like, yo, I think it's like maybe a point guard thing or. Like, you're just taught every couple buckets or every bucket, you're always taught since the beginning that we have to look at the clock. You have to see how much time left and manage it. Even if there's no shot clock, he just wants you. Coaches always want you to know what's being aware. So that made no sense to me because you saw everybody cheering in the crowd.
Yeah.
So I guess you to him it's like, oh, he's like, oh, everybody's cheering, so we're
down one.
We're down one.
Why are Vanderbilt fans cheering if we're down one?
We're down one at that point. And look, it was just tied up a minute ago. So I don't know, do the math, my man. You should have known that you are a D1 athlete.
You're at Vanderbilt.
You're at Vanderbilt, the Harvard of the South.
The Harvard of the South.
So what are you doing? And he's like, oh, bro, then no, bro. Come on, it's like I don't know. You go to the club with your boy, and then he leaves his wallet at home, and he's like, I didn't know we were gonna need money. You knew that we were gonna have to do this. What's up?
No, you get hit with that. That's just somebody that just wants you to pay for
that's
them.
True.
That's what
true.
That is.
Yeah, we up in there, right?
Yeah.
I got home with that twice, and I was like, look, we ain't turning back. I ain't going home. I'm not going back home. He's like, man, can we go back and get my. I was like, nah, you're just going to be broke and be chilling in the car.
Yeah, you're just going to be at the car.
Yeah, you're going
to
be chilling.
You want me to take you back to your house?
Yeah,
you want to catch an Uber? You can
catch an Uber.
Yeah, I pay for your Uber. That's about $5. You can get back to the crib. Go back to sleep.
Uber's tripping though lately. Uber's going up on every price, man. I don't know what's.
Oh, really?
Everything. I did Uber a couple of weeks ago. I was like, for the first time in a long time, I was like, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling $12 for me to go a couple blocks, not even a couple blocks, but just a little bit. What was it probably a 20-minute drive? But I wasn't feeling it. I was like, I think that's a little bit too much, man. I don't know. Atlanta's tripping. That's just But look, real quick, I did want to say that I am completely on board. I don't know if you saw Oklahoma State point guard,
Justin
Juwan.
Evans.
Say it again.
Is it Evans?
Evans, yeah, Juwan Evans. Dude,
Juwan Evans. That's the man.
Yes, he can ball, and he is so underrated. They got him projected in the second round. I think he's just as, if not more, talented. He's in the realm. He's with Lonzo and all that, and Fultz, and Dennis Smith Jr. He's right there. That dude can play, man. And he plays just like Chris Paul. But even young Chris Paul, because he's just as quick.
Yeah.
Handles ridiculous. That dude is nasty. That dude can really play. He's good. They got him predicted second round.
What year
come
is
back.
He?
He's like a sophomore. That's it.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's sad because
that's crazy.
The NBA is so caught up in, we have to have freshmen and we have to draft freshmen in the lottery.
He's 20 years old. That's the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, if you can play, you can, I just realized how old what's the name? Not Josh
what?
Jackson.
Who?
What's the kid's name from Kansas?
That's Josh Jackson.
Jackson?
Yeah, Josh Jackson.
I thought he was 19 or 18. He's 20 years old. Okay. He's a freshman. So,
wait, how is he 20 year freshman?
I don't know. I saw his age the other day. He's 20.
You didn't go to class. All right, so. he didn't go to class. Josh Jackson. Okay, yeah, so yeah. Why is that old, though? Okay, so that's the fact. I think you're actually right on that. That's what's probably factoring to why he's projected.
It's kind of sad.
Early second round. That dude is definitely whoever gets him is
This is how the NBA draft works. The freshmen go in the top 10, top 8 picks. Mm-hmm. Then you got. You'll sprinkle in some projects from Europe,
from Europe. Then they get those. That's your lottery. Yeah. And then you have that one really good college player that sneaks into the lottery. Like, there's one, they got to be really good. Like, Buddy Hield's good.
Yeah.
They'll sneak in the lottery, and then you have a bunch of guys that will be role players that will be seniors that have measurables.
That can come in and help. They can maybe come in and help, but like tomorrow, late first round picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can come in just like help a little bit. But like,
and then the second round is the ballers of college basketball. Like the guys who you look at games and they're scoring 20 points a game. Those guys get drafted in the second round. I don't know why. It's just how it works. Because
they're 4 years. Yeah, because how long they stay.
And then they wonder why they figure out, there's a bunch of second round picks that are turned into good players like Isaiah Thomas and Draymond Green, because you guys refuse to believe that a college player can translate to the pros.
How did you not see that Isaiah Thomas was going to be like good? I did not see they be this good. But I completely was on board with Isaiah Washington, because I was like, this dude is carrying this team, and he's like, but he's doing it in a way he's not a normal little guard. Like, no. Y'all keep thinking he's like a spark. Like, no, he knows how to play the game. He's smart. Yeah. He doesn't turn over the ball. He plays like a PG. I mean, he's a scoring PG, but he still plays under control. I was like, y'all didn't see anything you liked in that, and this whole too small thing is so like. Y'all keep – it's like so stupid.
It's not football.
It's not football.
So it's basketball. And then they get me, just because somebody's 7 foot tall is supposed to be good. No.
No, dude.
It doesn't mean anything.
And the game's getting small. Look, if it's a game, the game is more – the NBA is more wide open than the college. College is so tightly, deployed. But NBA is a lot more spacing and it's open. So it's you saying these little guards, it's like it doesn't make any sense to me. And without hand checking and all these things, it's a totally different game. Little people can play the game. Little midgets can play. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so that's whatever that.
Ask my Bulldogs about him, because he definitely carved him up.
Really?
In the tournament before he graduated.
Oh, they played in the – I didn't know they met in the NCAA.
Yeah, he killed Georgia.
That's it.
So that was my experience with him before the pros.
He's a killer, man. Yeah. Isaiah, shout out to IT. So here we are, A-League podcast, man, wrapping this up here. Did our Hawks talk. We'll continue to do that with giving you guys some, like, audio there throughout the week from the games. If you enjoy that, let us know just about what you think about the episode. It's at the A-League 1. That's our Twitter handle. Yeboah NBA is my Twitter handle. Hit us up just about what did you like about the episode, what you didn't like. What do you want to hear more about? Just hit us up. Let us know, man. And check out HawksHoop.com for your latest on your Atlanta Hawks. Also, 16 Rings. I'll have some stuff coming out there for 16rings.com. Yep.
All right. Jeremy Johnson, Clark underscore Kent underscore 75. Get my Superman on.
Yes, sir. And we out. Peace.